Take a lot of teamwork to make this happen. Okay, first of all, thank you, Moshe. Thank you, and give you and Dina for opening your home and for letting us in. I think the plan, Mr. Shem, this summer is to rotate around. So those who are interested in getting involved and opening their homes or sponsoring some food or anything of this sort, you're encouraged and welcome to do so. But thank you. Yossi's in charge. Okay, so speak to Yossi for those who want to get more involved. I picked the Chovas Levavos Shaar Bitachon without really knowing what we were signing up for. Because the truth is I haven't learned the Sefer well, which is Chaval. Just by a show of hands, has anyone here studied the Chovas Levavos for a serious... Okay, the Baal Bas, want to give a share?
No. It was 16,
it's hard.
It was 16 years ago.
And it's hard. It's not an easy Sefer. It's a Rishon. It was written about 1,000 years ago, which is always, you know, I always point out in YU, whenever we're like... learning something really old, even if it's just Rashi, but to just stop and think for a second, like, who would have ever imagined, you know, in Spain 1,000 years ago, when Rabach Ibn Pakuda was writing the Chovas HaLevavos, could you ever imagine that a bunch of Jews in Teaneck and Bergenfield 1,000 years later would be sitting here with Chinese food, with Chinese food, trying to analyze his words? It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. It was written in, we'll have to have themed food nights. It wasn't written in Hebrew. It was written in Judeo-Arabic, and it was translated about 100 years later. Now, there's several translations throughout history. The edition that I'm personally going to be using throughout, and again, you don't have to go out and buy it. It's not the edition that you have in front of you. I just gave you a nice, clean, menukah edition of the Chovas HaLevavos, but it's the same translation. This is the translation of Rav Yehuda Ibn Tibon, which was translated in the 1100s. There was another translation around that time also, which we don't have the whole thing. In the 1970s, a great Yemenite Chacham, who did a lot of work on the Rambam and other Rishonim, Rav Kapach, did a translation of the Chovas HaLevavos. But we're going to use the Ibn Tibun edition, Rav Yehuda Ibn Tibun edition. This particular edition I have in my hands has the commentary of the Leiv Tov by Pinchas Lieberman, who passed away also about 20 years ago. A very nice, clear commentary. But again, everything is coming from Arabic into Hebrew and then to try to understand. And it's written in the style of a Rishon, which means it's hard. And we're going to take it slow. The Shaar HaBitachon is the fourth of 10 Sha'arim, of 10 gates of the Chovas HaLevavos. And it has an introduction and then 7 prakim. I don't anticipate getting even beyond the introduction over the course of the summer. We'll see. Maybe we'll try to bring in some things from the other sections, if we can. But the reason that I wanted to, it was suggested by several people to learn something Amun and Bitachon related. And the Shaar Bitachon is very strong. It's very powerful. And it forces us to analyze. It doesn't read like a Sefer that came out last week on Amun and Bitachon, which is also very worthwhile. But it'll force us to think and to have conversation and to try to really analyze his words. And the truth is, you'll see what he writes in the Psicha. You'll see that he writes here in the opening lines. Let's just jump right into it for a second. Amar HaMechaber, Mipnei Shekodem Amarinu B'chiyav Kabbalah Savodas Elokim. Since I previously spoke about, just to give us a little bit of context here, right? The first Shaar is called the Shaar HaYichud. Because of the, just to give you the first, the three Sha'arim that preceded the Shaar Bitachon, which is the fourth gate, again, of the 10 gates of the Chovas HaLevavos. So the first gate is the Shaar HaYichud. It happens to be, for those of us who've started to become more accustomed to studying Sefer Chassidus, it's an unbelievably Chassidish Sefer, like 700 years before the Baal Shem Tov arrived on planet Earth. It's amazing the emphasis you'll see conceptually, maybe not as much in Shaar Bitachon, but if you learn the Shaar HaYichud, you learn the some of the other Sha'arim, It is so much in line with Hasidic thought, which is a remarkable thing to see. Again, just how different ideas were emphasized at different tikufos of Jewish history. So the first gate is called the Shaar HaYichud. He spends a lot of time speaking about, again, what does it mean to recognize and to live with the oneness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Then there's the Shaar HaBechina, the Shaar Avodas HaLokim. And now he writes here at the beginning of the Shaar Bitachon, Amar HaMechaber. Right. After you've introduced the oneness of Hashem and the Shaar Bechina of contemplation, and we've introduced the Shaar Avodas Elokim, which is very Hasidish, the Shaar Avodas Elokim. Now he says, "Amar Machaber Bnei Shekodem Amareinu B'Chiv Kabbalas Avodas Elokim." I spoke to you previously in the previous gate about the importance of accepting upon oneself to be a good Eved Hashem, a diligent, dedicated, fully immersed Eved Hashem. Re'isi lahavi achrav mashu tzarech yoser mikol advarim la'oved Elokim Yisbach. I want to introduce you to the thing that you need more than anything else to be an Eved Hashem. Which is why I don't think, well, it's a partial injustice that we're starting here in the fourth gate. It's inappropriate. He wrote it in order for a reason. But given our limited amount of time, I felt it was appropriate, A, because, again, people are talking a lot and want to better understand how to be a person. What does it mean to have amuna and bitachon? How do we even translate the words? I have to figure that out. But he says here, it's the thing you need more than anything else to be an Eved Hashem. Again, he explains why he presented the other things beforehand, but in terms of just importance in a certain sense, bitachon, and we'll see how it's really an offshoot of emuna, is everything. It's tzarich yoser mikol advarim la'ovid elokim yisbarach, and Eved Hashem needs this more than anything else. V'hu habitachon alav b'chol dvarav, to put one's trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every single thing that we do. Let's pause for a second. First of all, how should we translate the title of the Sefer that we're learning? That's an important question. Chovas HaLevavos. Okay, so you can see here in this Feldheim edition. Thanks for bringing it along. Right, in this Feldheim edition, Duties of the Heart. Chovas HaLevavos, Duties of the Heart. Right, now, it's a good question. It was, first of all, that title was given to it after it was translated. It had a longer title than its original, but a similar but longer title in the original title. But when Yehuda Ibn Tibbon translated it, he kind of captured the title as Chovas HaLevavos. Right? Now the word lev is an interesting word, and it's used in a lot of different ways in Tanakh. Right? Some would say in that book that YU put out a number of years ago, it was called The Philosophical Quest by Rabbi Yehuda David Bleich. So he writes very clearly at the beginning of the Sefer, he translates Chovas HaLevavos as duties of the intellect. Because lev in ancient Hebrew really means the mind more than the heart. It's not a heart in the way that we use the word like hartzig. Right? It was seen as being the seat of the intellect. They have to know a very important piece of Michta Me'eliyahu. So Dessler writes in the fourth volume of Michta Me'eliyahu that the reason that in the ancient world lev was synonymous with mind. Rav Dessler says, sometimes we talk about the seichel, we talk about the mind, we talk about the heart, right? When it says, not the sasura achrei levavchem achrei einechem, don't stray after your heart. So is that heart meaning the emotional center of man? Is that the intellectual center of man? Are they somewhat interchangeable? And you can think of many, many psukim from davening and from Tanakh, which will lead you in different directions.
Simlev, okay.
Okay, so there's a lot of psukim. There's a lot in the Rishonim about, you know, what is the leif, and that's why again some scholars are particularly translating Chovas HaLevavos is not really the duties of the heart, again in the way that a modern thinker would use the word heart, as being emotional responsibilities. But you see, the Sefer is built on engaging the mind of a Jew. How does a Jew think? Right? Now, obviously, it's related to how a Jew feels. The two are related, and that's Rav Dessler's point. Rav Dessler, in a very important piece in Michta Me'eliyahu in the fourth volume, says that the hope really is that they really are almost synonymous, because the goal is that whatever I intellectually come to understand will immediately penetrate my heart in the way that Rav Dessler would use the word heart. That's the goal. And the Kotzker Rebbe said the biggest distance in the world, and many tzaddikim said, the biggest distance in the world is between the mind and the heart. That the things that I know intellectually to be true, I don't feel and I don't live. So there's a danger of always, you know, we're sitting here, we're going to spend the summer learning about bitachon, and it can become an intellectual pursuit. And it never changes how any of us get up in the morning, or how we live our lives. Ha'amanti ki adaber, the Bali Musar say, ha'amanti ki adaber, if a person wants to acquire emuna, they have to speak about emuna. They want to acquire any midah, they want to acquire any character trait. Ha'amanti, I come to believe it ki adaber, because I speak about it. Right? But there's also a danger when a person starts to talk about it, and I'm not al tiftach pel lesatan, right? But it's been my life's experience, when you start to work on something, you're going to face it tomorrow. I don't give anyone, I hope no one has any nisyonos. We daven every morning. Hashem shouldn't bring us to nisyonos. Right? But when you learn about bitachon, Hashem says, okay, let's see if you're about bitachon now. Great. So you picked up some new ideas last night. That's great. That's how Hashem's going to wake us up tomorrow morning. And again, it should be very benachas. It should be easy nisyonos for us to overcome. Right? But ha'amanti, Hashem says, no, kiyadavar, you're talking about it now. I have the most achrayas because I'm presenting in quotes the shir. Right? So Hashem says, oh, look what you're preaching. Right, so let's see if you're a Babi Tachon, if God forbid you get a flat tire tomorrow. Right, again, al tiftach pel satan. Right, but at the same time, when a person starts to talk about these things, so then you have to try to internalize them. So Rav Dessler says the heart and the mind are really supposed to be synonymous because they're supposed to work together. The ideas that are true in our mind are supposed to immediately penetrate our heart in the way that we use the word heart. So again, I'll give an example. The Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Yisurei Bia. Person is struggling with sexual temptation. So the Rambam says that a person only has machsheves harayos, a person only has lewd thoughts, a person who's what? A person whose lave is panoi from Torah, whose heart is devoid of Torah. So there's a letter I once saw from one of the tzaddikim, from the Baal Shomer Amunim. He writes in the letter, he's medayik in the Rambam, that what he means, a lot of people learn Torah, and yet they still have lewd thoughts. Right? Their minds are immersed in Torah, and yet they still have lewd thoughts. So this tzaddik, this Hasidus Rebbe said right, because the Rambam says that if your heart is devoid of Torah, maybe your mind is connected to Torah, maybe you're intellectually connected to Torah, but you're not emotionally connected to Torah. But the Rambam didn't mean lave that way. It's not what lave meant. In Rambam language, it's not what the word lave meant. That's why this piece of Rav Dessler is really important. Because Chovas Levavos has to be translated by us. It has to be both the duties of the mind and the duties of the heart. It can't be a purely intellectual pursuit. And you'll see the language that he's writing and the way that he's writing is not a purely emotional type of presentation. Okay? So now that we know this is the most important thing according to, again, Ibn Ubachi, Ibn Bakuda, let's find out why it's so important. Okay? Let's take a look inside. I want to try to let him do a nice amount of talking, but again, we're going to go slow. Now, the goal is not to finish anything. Bavur mashayeshbo minato alios hagadolos. The reason bitachon is so critical is because it creates the greatest benefits for a person. It's very much l'toelis. It's very beneficial. How is it beneficial? It's beneficial for me spiritually, and it's beneficial for me in terms of my engagement with the physical world. Be'inyan ha-Torah uve'inyan ha-Olam. Bitachon will help me to maximize my Torah potential. We're not just talking about limud Torah. We're talking about living whatever the 613 mitzvahs ask of me. Uve'inyan ha-Olam. And with regard to being able to have a job and go to work and to do anything in this world, if I go with bitachon, I'll be a different human being. So this is the key. This is again what we need more than anything else. V'to'alosav bo b'torasso. What is the benefit from a spiritual perspective? Mehan, amongst them are menuchas nafsho ubitchono al elokav yisvarach. This is going to be the litmus test in many ways. You'll see we're not going to get there, but if you look at the first parak of Shaar Bitachon, which is tiny, the psicha is much longer than the first parak. You see that he basically presents the litmus test of a person of real bitachon is how calm can you stay? That's the litmus test. That's the sign. You don't test your bitachon. How panicked are you? How nervous are you about the situation? Right? You lost your job. Okay. Again, shtadlus is a big piece that, again, we're not going to get to everything. We have to figure out how all these pieces work. Okay, but you lost your job. So how nervous are you about that? How anxious are you about that? Or you're not feeling well. And you're going to the doctor. The doctor's going to run a series of scans. He's doing some blood work. So how nervous are you? Now, I'm not, God forbid, saying that it's not normal or it's inappropriate for you to be not nervous. You're a human being. And you may not be on the perfected level of bitachon. So I don't think you have to declare yourself the worst Jew who ever was if you're a little bit nervous. It just means you're not a perfect Baal bitachon. If you were a perfect Baal bitachon, you'd have complete menuchas hanefesh. That's one of the indicators of a Baal bitachon. Because I trust more than anything else that my situation is not by accident. Okay? Let's talk about for a minute, really just for a minute, a machlokes between... Let's call it a machlokas between the Chazan Ish and Chassidus. Okay? The Chazan Ish wrote a very famous sefer called Amuna Ubitachon Va'od. Amuna, Bitachon, Va'od. Right? If you look at the cover of this edition, it says Chazon Ish Sefer Emunah Bitachon. That's how most people refer to the Sefer. Right? You open up to the first page and you see it says Sefer Chazon Ish, based on the Kisvei Yad. It was from his handwriting. Right? It was not published in his lifetime. That's why some sections were taken out by the editors. Al Inyanei Emunah Bitachon Va'or. First chapter is on Emunah, the second chapter is on Bitachon, the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth chapter are not on Emunah or Bitachon. So the majority of the Sefer is actually not on Emunah and Bitachon. But okay, but it's most well known for the first two sections, Emunah and Bitachon. Let's just come with a working definition for a moment. What is Emunah and what is Bitachon? And this is not unique to the Chazon Ish's description of Emunah versus Bitachon, but it's something that he emphasizes before he then points out how people misuse the concept of Bitachon. Anyone know? What would you say? What is the basic difference? What is Emunah versus Bitachon?
According to Chazon Ish, the answer is that Emunah is how I believe, and my Bitachon is how I react.
So it's theory versus practice.
Right.
Emunah is the abstract belief. Bitachon is the application of that belief. How do I actually live with that? So again, that's sort of a little bit, it's mind and heart. If I see heart as also being, you know, the tefillin opposite my heart is the tefillin that's the tefillin of my arm, which is my actions. So how do I apply what I know to be true? I believe in God as an idea, but do with the choices that I make in life reflect that? Right? Is it bitachon? Am I living with it? Is it practical? Is it lemaisa? Okay, that's a basic definition of emunah versus bitachon that basically is, I think, you know, muskum lakol. Again, with nuances of how it's presented. Okay, now what's the mistake that the Chazon Ish claims people make about bitachon? Which the Baal Shem Tov would say is not a mistake. He would say that's what bitachon can be. Okay, yeah, no
Vachana? Well, I actually did the sefer, so
okay,
that one I can tell you about.
So tell us, what's the mistake?
I think what happens is that we have a tendency to think that bitachon should be that whatever happens, happens, and that there's no human element involved. So in other words, a guy comes in and says, oh, it happened, I sit back and accept it. In other words, there's a, I think he talks about, well,
he's more upset than that. He's more.
The helicopter marshal.
What's the helicopter marshal?
The flood. The guy's like standing there, like everything's sinking. And
forget Bitachon and Shtalish for a second.
Doesn't he say it's all? He gets upset. People think everything's gonna be good.
Right. That's his main complaint. People who think that Bitachon, if you have enough Bitachon, it will work out the way that you want it to work out. And the Chazon Ish says that's completely not true. Okay. I'm going to read you just in translation. Many err with regard to bitachon by thinking that when man is confronted by any situation and his future is uncertain, with two possible paths, right, the plane is crashing. You might die and you might live. There's two possible paths. One good and the other not, beforehand. In terms of how he assessed the situation, I would like to live. I would prefer not to die. Okay, so one good and the other not. Then he is required to rest assured that it will be good. That bitachon demands, right, that it's gonna be good. I'm gonna be fine. If he will be doubtful and plan for the opposite, if he thinks he's gonna die, right? People claim that that's a lack of bitachon. What do you mean? Hashem can't save you. You don't believe Hashem can save you? Now the question is, hold on a second. Is it that I don't believe Hashem can save me?
Will
save me? Right. So that's the question. Can I will something into being the way that I want it to be? If I trust, right? Let's say, again, a person goes to the doctor. A person goes to the doctor and the doctor says, you have a dreaded disease and I'm giving you 6 weeks to live. So can I use bitachon and say, I believe in Hashem that Hashem is going to heal me and I believe it so much that He will heal me. Can I force that to be true?
But isn't that the contradiction to it? That you have to believe that whatever is being sent your way is being sent your way. Willing it to what you...
So that's what he says it actually is. The Chazon Ish says, what is bitachon actually? Bitachon is the realization, accepting the fact that it's not by chance that I'm on this plane. Right? Statistically speaking, I'm going to die. Even if I believe a million times over that Hashem can save me and Hashem will save me, I'm asking for an open miracle. Right? And that wanting it to be doesn't you know, push Hashem in one direction or another.
But are you not
what I need to believe is that I have to have the confidence to believe, to trust that I'm here for a reason, and what's going to happen is supposed to happen, and that it's not mikra. That's his main thing, that it's not happenstance. Because Hashem runs the world. Lamaisa, Hashem runs the world. Not, oh, Hashem runs the world. Now I'm on the plane and it's crashing. Do I still believe that Hashem...
It's just as much when the plane is crashing as much as when the plane is coasting that you have to believe.
That's correct.
You demonstrate a lack of bitachon if you want the other thing. Like, yes, I accept, I'm on the plane, it's going
if
down.
I mean, if I want anything, is that a lack of bitachon?
Yeah.
I mean, should I just not worry about the results? Okay, right. We do ask for things, and that's part of...
Right, you want to do well on a test. Bad example. But
okay.
You want to not crash.
Okay.
You want to get on a plane, you still have to figure out.
Okay. So who's he responding to? Who's the Chazanish responding to? So he's really responding, and again, it's a much broader thing that we could say in 2 minutes, right? But he's really responding. He's responding to the approach of Chassidus, which says... that perhaps if I believe it enough, then maybe I can shape that reality. Now what we're going to see tonight, which is fascinating, I hope we'll see tonight, is that the Chovas HaLevavos sounds more like the Hasidim in a certain sense than the Chazanish. That again, if I trust in Hashem enough, I'll get it to work out the way that I want it to work out. Okay, but let's see how that works. Okay, there's a sefer that was published probably 15, 20 years ago now, called Sefer Menuchas HaNefesh. A very interesting sefer. It's not all about Menuchas HaNefesh, but it's a very deep sefer with tremendous Maor Makomos. And he brings this machlokes, so to speak, between the Chazon Ish and we'll call the Baal Shem Tov or Chassidus. And he presents it, again, more or less the way I just presented it. If you're on the airplane's crashing, the Chazon Ish says, bitachon means that it's not by chance that I'm here. I'm not kicking myself, shoot. You know, I dafka change my flight to get onto this flight. If I would have just left it alone, right? No, there's a reason I'm here. That's my bitachon. Versus the Baal Shem Tov, who would say, no, if you have to believe, even though statistically these types of plane crashes, no one survives, well, that's because they don't have enough bitachon. And if you have enough bitachon, you'll be that statistical anomaly who ends up in the Guinness Book of World Records, who survived the plane crash, which no one could explain. And the only reason, now there is also a force of nature that's working against you, right? Meaning what? It's very hard for you to get to 100% bitachon in a crashing plane, right? It's very hard to get there. It's very physically and emotionally difficult to get there. So you may be able to get it up to 75%, but 75% doesn't, according to Baal Shem Tov, also doesn't save you. If you can get it up to 100%, if you could somehow overcome the physical terror of what's happening, you may be able to tilt Hashem's hand.
But the crashing plane is just a label. I mean, your other examples, Rabbi, of somebody sick, a car, whatever, every single one of them, that's the crashing plane.
Right.
So it's not only the most extreme, most horrific thinking that we can think of, but every circumstance is.
Correct. So this approach is unbelievably helpful and unbelievably hurtful.
Yeah,
it's unbelievably helpful because it gives you hope when there's absolutely no hope, that if we just keep pushing, we can change and get a miracle. It's unbelievably crushing because it leaves the possibility of we didn't try hard enough on the table. That had we tried harder, had we davened more, had we believed more, had we not been blinded by the doctor's prediction, had we been able to push it up to 100%, we could have overcome.
But is that the tafka to believe that our bitachon or our what we think will affect the change?
Okay, so that's I'm just putting it out there. This apparent machlokes between Chazon Ish and Chassidus, and we'll see how it plays out here. We'll have to see how it plays. I've read 2 lines so far. I don't know anything.
But everybody does. So at the end of the day, every person who got to 100% lost. So it's virtually impossible. No. What I'm saying is that everybody dies.
Because when you're 100 years old and you have pneumonia and you're lying in a hospital, it's hard to believe you're going to recover when the track record is people die.
No, but Carter told you I wanted 120 years.
We also wanted that.
So the fact that anybody does it in 120 years.
Okay. So there's never been a perfect Baal Mitzvah.
Okay. No one hit 100%.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
I'm just saying is that at the end of the day, whether the person in the crash is 43, well, the guy who's dying of pneumonia at 110, at the end of the day, if he does not have that, the fact that he's dying is saying he doesn't have enough amuna, so I mean, nobody does.
That's really hard to understand.
Okay, so let's see.
Impossible to say.
Okay, good. The goal is to get everyone fired up, because it'll keep people awake.
It's squeezing your hands, because it was on the phone with your parents.
All right, so let's see. Okay, so says the Chovas HaLevavos. He He says, first of all, again, the to'eles in terms of one's spirituality is that if I have bitachon, then I have menuchas hanefesh. So again, I'm just putting it out there, both in the first parak, which we're not going to get to, and in the fifth parak, in his second point in the fifth parak, he breaks things down very, he's very categorical, very organized. So in parak hay, we call it os beis, right, the second point that he makes, again, he emphasizes menuchas hanefesh as being, you don't have any of it, you don't have parak aleph or parak hay in front of you. He emphasizes menuchas hanefesh as being a possible indicator of how your bitachon is going. If you can stay calm, that's a sign that I believe Hashem runs the world. It's not kicking myself. If I would have taken a different route, then I wouldn't have gotten this flat tire. That's a lack of bitachon. That's you saying, I believe God runs the world in theory, but I could have made a different choice. Now, the truth is, obviously this is touching a little bit, as all these sugyas of amun and bitachon, of life, are going to overlap very much one with another. And it's obviously touching a little bit on free will, and it's touching a little bit on how much does Kadosh Baruch Hu's hashkacha govern my life. Okay, so all these things are going to overlap. But my job is to try to have menuchas hanefesh. And if I have menuchas hanefesh, it benefits me spiritually. How does it benefit me spiritually? So let's just read the words. Mehen, meaning one of the benefits is that menuchas nafsho ubitchanu alokav yisbach, by having menuchas hanefesh and by putting my trust in Hashem, kemosha eved chayiv liftoach al adonav, like a servant who's obligated, or I'll say it differently, is confident to rely entirely on his master. Does the Eved have to worry about dinner? No, his master takes care of dinner and breakfast and lunch. And his master takes care of his clothing. His master takes care of his lodging. So what does the Eved have to worry about? The Eved has to worry about his avoda. He has to worry about, what did you say?
Cable.
Cable, his internet, his cell phone. Yeah, his data plan. Yeah, no, the Eved has to worry about being an Eved. He has to worry about doing his job, whatever the master asks of him. He doesn't have to worry about food. He doesn't have to worry about clothing. He doesn't have to worry about lodging. Right? So too, the person who has bitachon on Hashem and says, Hashem, I work for you. You're my master. You're going to take care of the food and the clothing and the lodging and all of those things. And I can stay focused on the avdus. What's the avdus? The 613 mitzvahs. So a person who has bitachon, it's easier for him, spiritually, to be successful, to be a better Eved Hashem. So let's talk some practical examples for a minute.
Isn't enough for him, the ultimate spiritual, he doesn't have to worry about his clothing, he doesn't have to worry about his food, he doesn't have to worry about anything.
Right.
Except he can't.
What's the curse of the Nachash?
But he can't stop until Hashem.
Right. The curse of the Nachash was that Hashem just abandoned him. He said, here's the way, right, the way that Tzaddikim explained. Hashem gave the Nachash a credit card and said, kol tuv. Buy what you need, you know, offer tochal, and then that's it. I'm done with you. There's no way he severed the relationship. Right? What's beautiful about the Eved and his master is that he relies on his master, but again, there's a constant connection to the master. There's a constant relationship to the master.
It's just something like being a mabakesh Hashem. I know it's an expression that's used in people. Mabakesh Hashem is a very lofty...
And this fellow who has...
Sounds similar.
So he has menuchas and nefesh, he has bitachon, and he's able to spend his whole life, yeah, asking, what does Hashem want? What's my avoda? I'm not running around, scrounging around to make a few more bucks, because if I'm supposed to make a few more bucks, I'll make a few more bucks. I'm covered. Now again, obviously, everything we're going to say, you're going to say, well, what about hashtadlis? What about hashtadlis? What about hashtadlis? Okay? So we have to figure out, what about hashtadlis?
What about something bad happens to the Eved, and he thinks it's because he did something wrong in his avodas, it's a punishment. So then how did he have menuchas and nefesh if he thinks, this is what I did? I need to either correct something.
Okay.
I don't know if it's just, you know.
Right. It's hard to assess what's if something's bad's happening. Why?
Happen,
what's
or this, it's because,
right. Is this a message? Like, what is this? What's the response? Right. Am I failing in a certain degree?
It could be something like you want to do tshuva. To your point,
right.
You want to do tshuva, and you're getting all, you know, worked up. You got to do
tshuva. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think the question: how do you have menuchas and nefesh at the same time?
Right.
If somebody wants to do tshuva, something that maybe don't even do.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
It's also under the assumption that you know what you're about.
Right, so that's another big question. How does one figure out their avodah? But let's keep avodah in the broader sense, Torah and mitzvahs, kol haTorah kula. Right, the way that the Lev Tov commentary here reads this line, he says, "Kamosha eved chayiv liftoach al adonav." If he is able to have bitachon in Hashem, the same way a servant is able to dedicate himself to his master, yesh lo menuchas hanefesh mehadaygos. He frees himself from the worry that most normal human beings have. how am I going to pay my bills? Right? How am I going to do this? How am I and by freeing himself from the worry, and that's the key, who yachol, this how he translates this line. Even though you have to really, again, you have to read between the lines in the Rishon, in Rabbeinu Bachya to see it. Right? But the Chovas Lavas is implying, who yachol lismaser la'avodas Hashem. That's how Rav Pinchas Lieberman in his Lev Tov commentary that I have in front of me, which you don't have in front of you, reads this line. Who yachol lismaser la'avodas Hashem. He's able to give himself over fully to avodas Hashem, because he doesn't have to worry about anything else other than Torah and mitzvos. Because his master is taking care of everything else. He doesn't have to make cheshbonos. Can I afford to stay for Uval Etzion at the end of davening? The answer is yes, you can. You can. And you can afford to not work on Chol HaMoed. You can afford to not work on Chol HaMoed. Besides the fact that you should probably be taking your vacation days on Chol HaMoed. Right? That's a big pet peeve of mine. Hold that the first vacation days are Chol HaMoed. And then if you have extra days and you want to go on a family vacation during winter break, that's a bonus. But don't tell me you can't take off on Chol HaMoed. You have vacation days. Why is Chol HaMoed not the first one to get your vacation days? Right? But again, he can afford to take the job that pays a little less, which gives him the opportunity to have mincha, because he's not panicked. He's not nervous. I take this job a little less. I don't know. It's cutting you close in terms of paying my bills. Right? He has the yishuv hadas to place his ruchnius first. He's freed from the worry. He has the menuchas and nefesh, he's freed from the daiga that so many people face in trying to strike that balance of I don't have time to learn at night because I need to stay those extra hours in the office. Right? So that's a person who's not relying enough on Hashem, and he's too nervous, he's too panicked. He's not free. Again, he writes here. Right? He's not freed from the daigos. To give himself over entirely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now again, whether or not the Chovas Levavos is saying never to work, we have to see. Are we sitting back and waiting for the man to fall from the sky? But at least you have to be a person who can, whatever you're going to do it benachas. And to not be panicked that if I don't get this one client, if I don't seal this deal, if I don't, then no. I'm able to put that all aside and daven Shmona Esrei. To daven mincha in the middle of my work day, and to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Mara says the bracha is the mincha is the greatest tefillah. To be able to put aside all the worries of the unfinished business and to give myself over entirely to Hashem without any worry in the world that something's missing. That something's missing in my life. The Sfarim say, Sfarim HaKadoshim say, that if you look at the word daiga, which means worry. Right, so first of all, there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, "Daga b'leiv ish yashchena." If a person has worries in his heart, he should suppress it. The Gemara Maseches Yoma says, "Not only yashchena, yisichena, he should talk it out," which is part of what we're doing tonight. We're talking out in Yanei Emuna Hamantik Yadav. By talking about it, hopefully we can be less anxious and be able to make better choices of Emuna and Bitachon, and to get back to the joyous life of a Baal Bitachon. That's what all this farm talk about. If you want to have a Simcha Sachayim. One of the reasons that our door is so you know, depressed and struggles with just finding joy in life is because we're very anxious and because we lack emun and bitachon. And all the Sfarim say that's the final nisayon. Bottom line, at the end of the day, what does it all come down to? It comes down to emun and bitachon. That's going to define every choice you make in your life. And that's what the Chovas Halevavos is introducing to us. That's how you're starting off here. It's the thing you need more than anything else. So the Sfarim say the word da'aga, yeah, has four out of the five opening letters of the Torah of the Aleph Beis. It has Aleph Beis. No, sorry, it's Aleph Gimel Dalet and Hey. It's missing the Beis, right? The Beis is the Bitachon. It's missing Bitachon. Right? A person who has da'aga is missing the Beis, which stands for Bitachon. Then there's another remez that they say from the Bas Ayin. The Bas Ayin was Rav Avram of Avrich, who eventually moved to Tzvas. And he said a beautiful remez in the word bitachon, right? Or in the shorish of the word bitachon, right? The word bitachon, the shorish is beis, tes, ches. Okay, so if you spell out beis, tes, ches, right? So beis, how do you spell beis in milor? If you spell out the letter beis, not just the letter beis, spell out beis, yud, tav, right? Beis, yud, tav. So the inner letters are yud and tav. How about ches? Ches, also ches yud tuf. How about tes? Also tes yud tuf. No. Sfarim don't spell tes, right?
Never.
Tes Yud Tav. So each one produces what? A Yud Tav. Their inner letter, the inner letters of Beis and Tes and Ches are all Yud and Tav, Yud and Tav, Yud and Tav. Right? So how much is Gematria Yud Tav?
410.
410 is Gematria Kadosh. Yeah, so Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Yeah? The Spitz Madrig of Kedusha, right? It's a person who's a Baal Bitachon. Right? There's a very Heilige Kedusha that comes to a Baal Bitachon. Right? It's a very lofty level of Kedusha, which really Kedusha is rooted in connection. It's being connected to the right things. It's being able to recognize what's what. That's what Kedusha is. So the Bas Ayin says that the pnimius of Bitachon, right, is what we're, every time we say Kedusha, Kadosh, 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 we go up on our toes, we're trying to lift ourselves up a little bit off of the ground, a little bit detached from this world, to be a little bit higher. Again, a person of Daiga is missing the base. He's missing that letter of Bitachon. And he's getting caught up in the wrong things in this world. Now, he says here that a person has to have Bitachon. He's Chayiv Liftoch, like, the same way an Eved is Chayiv Liftoch El Adonav. So the word Chayiv should just make us pause for half a second and ask ourselves the question, is there a Chiyuv of Bitachon? And if so, what is the source of the Chiyuv? In other words, is there really a mitzvah of Bitachon? We all agree it's a lofty thing. So now I'm using Emunah Bitachon interchangeably. Is that really fair? We give a bracha to the Chassid and Kal. I was just talking a minute ago about Simcha, being besimcha. And our Bitachon is so much connected to Simcha. Daiga strips a person of their Simcha. We say, Sameach Tisamach Reim Ahuvim. The Reim Ahuvim, right, are not just the Chassid and the Kal. Who are the Reim and the Reim Ahuvim we're trying to bring together? So you could say Chal Yisrael Hashem. Okay, what else could you say? You could say Emunah and Bitachon, the theory and the practice. Right, Reim Ahuvim, they should come together. It shouldn't just be a theoretical Jew. But the Reim Ahuvim, that the theory of my belief in Hashem should be Lamaisa. And then we say what? We say Sameach Tisamach Reim Ahuvim. If I could bring these two together, it's going to be unbelievable Simcha, and it's going to be what? It's going to be like Gan Eden Mikedem. One of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon says, what's the gematria of Gan Eden? Amunah plus Bitachon. Very good, you're at the shiva. There's an eye. Good. Very good. Wow, you're fast. Right? Amunah plus Bitachon is gematria of Gan Eden. Amunah is 102, Bitachon is 75, is 177 is gematria of Gan Eden. So Sameach Tisamach Reyam Ahuvim, and I can somehow bridge these two worlds, but I can make sure that my Amunah generates an emistic Bitachon, that I live it, so then I'm Amish in Gan Eden. In Gan Eden, everything was taken care of. People weren't worried about, you know, getting a few more dollars or being able to pay their mortgage. It was taken care of. They were able to focus on their Avodas Hashem, whatever Avodas Hashem meant at that time. And that's what a Jew is trying to get back to. That's the Simchas Achaim a Jew is trying to get back to. The Samachta, the root of all the Klalos in Parshas Kisavo, is a failure of what? The Samachta B'chol HaTov is that failure to have the joy in Avodas Hashem. What robs us of our joy? Why can't I daven a longer shachris in the morning? I have to get to work. Okay, so that's a lack of bitachon. That rush to work, or that inability to schedule more time for tefillah and less time for work, is rooted in a lack of bitachon. But what is the chiyuv of bitachon? Is there a chiyuv? Can I count? Is it one of the 613? So Rav Asher Weiss put out a sefer not long ago called Minchas Achshir Emunah Bitachon. Okay, so everyone picked the same title for this time on this topic. Makes sense. And the very first piece, the very first mimer of Asher Weiss calls Mitzvah Bitachon. What is the Mitzvah Bitachon? He says, we all know that it's a chashuv thing. He quotes the Gemara, Makos Chav Dalid, Tzadik Vemenaso Yichya. Right? But is it a Mitzvah Gemur, he says? And if so, where in the Torah does the Torah tell us there's a Mitzvah to what? To trust Hashem. Anyone? So let's stay away from Amunah for a minute. Let's stay away from Amunah. Because we can always say Bitachon is an offshoot of Amunah. And then we can just say Anochi Hashem Elokech and go from there. That's his third approach. Are there other psukim that tell us that's not a passing in Chomish? Where does the Torah tell us not to be afraid? Not to be anxious, not to be worried. By war. By war. So he starts by quoting the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos. In Mitzvos Losa say Nunches. HaMitzvah Nunches is that we're warned not to be nervous. You go out to war, there's people who are going to get you nervous. right? Your enemies are going to get you nervous. There's going to be people maybe amongst you who are going to get you nervous. Don't be nervous, says the Rambam. Do not be nervous. The Sefer HaChinuch, in describing that mitzvah, don't be nervous on the battlefield, right? The Pesukim in Parshas Ekev, Mishar Shea Mitzvah Sheyesh L'chol Echad MiYisrael, Lasum La Hashem Yisbarach Miftacho. Put your trust in Hashem. That's one pasuk that we could quote. Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah, says Rav Asher Weiss, also. Kisomar Bilvavcha, Rabbi Magoyim Ma'ila Mimani. There's so many more of the enemy soldiers than me. Eicha Uchal Horisham, how are you going to conquer the land? Lo Sira Mayhem, says the pasuk Dvarim Perak Zayin. Don't be nervous. Kiteitza Namilchaval Evecha, Varisa Sus Varechev Am Rab Mimcha. Don't be nervous. So it could be some Rishonim say that that's the mitzvah of bitachon. Not to be nervous during war. Means also don't be nervous when you're battling, you know, against someone else who wants the same job that you are. Don't be nervous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of things. Put your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one possible source. A second possible source that the Rishonim bring is Tamim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha. Some Rishonim bring that as the source for bitachon. He quotes Ramban and the Sefer Charedim as saying that. And then Rav Asher Weiss says the truth is, again, if we understand that these are Reyem Ahuvim, that bitachon, like Rav Hanan said, right? Rav Hanan Wasserman, our Rav Hanan, modern day Rav Hanan, right? The way that the Chazon Ish and others described it, that it's theory versus practice. So again, an offshoot of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, if that means anything, then you have to actually live it. And therefore, you could certainly say that bitachon is an offshoot of Amun, and Rabbeinu Yonah writes that as well in his commentary on Mishlei. Okay? And therefore, v'tzadik be'amunaso yichya, says Rav Asher Weiss, as he ends this mimer, he says, achin hakavana l'mitzvah bitachon. It's not just, when Habakkuk said, at the end of days, it comes down to one thing, right? He was saying, it comes down to not, you know, throwing out the in God we trust, which people not that long ago took for granted. As science and technology and man's involvement in reality increases, and our ability to put our faith in the doctor, or in the business, or in the idea, right, increases. So, Bach Habakkuk v'midin al achas. Habakkuk says that I have to sum the whole thing up. V'tzadik b'emunaso yechya. And again, it doesn't just mean that the theory of God should remain true, but to be able to live with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the main inyan. Chedush Arim said that at the end of days, in the ikvus of the Meshicha, it's going to be very difficult for a Jew to even say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and to actually mean it. It'll be very difficult for a Jew to say Shema and to really mean it and to believe it. To say it from a deep place is going to become a very difficult thing.
Why?
Because belief in Emunah is going to be the final battleground. And again, we're putting Emunah and Bitachon as trying to get us back to Bereishis, trying to get us back to Gan Eden. Rav Moshe Wolfson says, Bach Habakkuk ve'amidan al achas is gematria bereishis. Because this is the key to get back to hit the reset button on all of reality. Right? That's the nisayon of the ikvus of the Meshicha. What does the pasuk say? Daniel was saying the pasuk before. Bitchu b'Hashem, what? Ade'ad. Ade'ad. Ayin dalet. What does that have to do with Shema? The big letters of Shema, the big ayin and the big Shema is a big ayin. Echor is a big dalet. Bitchu b'Hashem ade ad, to be able to cling to whatever that big ayin dalet represents, whether it stands for the ikvus of the Meshicha, which again the last period, b'chemes gogu magog. Here's how the Eretz Tzvi explains it. The Chiddush Arim was the one who said this statement. The Chiddush Arim said, the first Ger Rebbe said, it's going to be very hard at the end of days for a Jew to really even say Shema. We all say Shema. Who doesn't say Shema? Shema is the easiest thing in the world. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Very easy. So what does it mean? It's hard to say. So the Eretz Tzvi, the Kadosh Glover, of Aryeh Tzvi Fromer, who died al Kiddush Hashem, who was one of the Rosh Yeshiva and Chachmei Lublin. So he writes in Parshas Noach. He says what the Chiddush Arim meant, he quotes from the Shem Yishmol. He says what the Chiddush Arim meant was that in Milchemes Gog u'Magog, right, which is how we refer to this final battle, it's going to be very difficult to say Shema. Why is it going to be difficult to say Shema with a depth? Because who are Gog and Magog? It's a little Tanakh. Gog and Magog, who do they come from? Which sons of Noach? Of the sons of Noach. Right? It's Yavan, it's Yefes, right? It's Yefes. Okay, and what separates us, the B'nai Shem, from the B'nai Yefes? Where was that moment of split? Shem and Yefes both went to cover over Noach. All right, but they got a very different reward. Yefes. Yefes got kvura, got burial for their soldiers in the final battle at the end of days. And we got tzitzis, right? We got a garment which reflects something internal, even though it's worn on our body. And they literally got something, you know, very much bechitzonius, the dirt that's thrown onto their body at the end of one's life. Right? That's why Yefes and Yavan and Gog and Magog, that whole world is very into superficiality, which is why if we think just in terms of like our simplistic Hanukkah thinking of Greeks with big muscles and focus on the body, and Hanukkah is because we watch your goof and things like that, right? It's very superficial. So if the final battle is the battle of Gog and Magog, it's a battle against superficiality. That's what the Eretz Tzvi says in the name of the Shem Yishmuel to explain what the Chiddush HaRei meant when he said it's going to be hard to say Shema. It's easy to say Shema. But to really say Shema, to really say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, I'm willing to not take the better job so I can have more time to learn. That's hard. That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's saying Shema. Saying the words is easy, but living it with a pnimius and not being worried, not being anxious, what's going to be? I'm out of work now for a couple of weeks. What's going to be? What's going to be? To believe, to have the bitachon and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, bitchu Hashem Ad, the big ayin and the big dalid. V'samachta b'chol hatov, as I'm bringing my bikurim, giving away my first fruits. That's what I'm saying. B'chol hatov is gematria ad. There's a lot here. Ad ayin dal is also the shame bitachon in the Arizal. It's a whole thing. Right? But ayin dal represents bitachon. Bitachon is gematria. Well, more than ayin dal. But the point is to have real bitachon and to be besimcha and to not be anxious. And to put that base back into daiga, that's why I say, you know what a tikkun for a person who's feeling disconnected from Hashem is? What type of Torah should you learn? It said, there's a medrash that says, if you're feeling disconnected from Hashem, you should learn agada. You should learn agadata. Because agada is moshech the lev. It draws the heart back into things to recognize kono, to recognize his creator. Agada is the same letters as daiga, that's what I'm saying. Right? So if you're having a daiga problem, you can learn agada, or you can try to put the base back in and work on your bitachon. Right? To try to put that base back into your life. So again, so a person, what time is it? Wow, it's so good already. Okay, so let's just read a little bit more inside. We'll dive in more soon. So again, what's the spiritual advantage of a person who has bitachon? He has menuchas hanefesh, he relies on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's like an Eved who fulfills his Chiyuv. Again, what's the pointer of Asher Weiss? He gave us three possibilities on what the Chiyuv of Bitachon is. It's either, don't be afraid when you go to war, or it's Tamim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha, or it's just an offshoot of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's an extension of that basic Emuna, because Rayim Ahuv, the goal is that the Emuna should translate into practical Lamaisa Bitachon. Now, what happens if I don't trust in Hashem? There's a default option that every human being is programmed to, which is what? If I don't trust in Hashem, everyone feels that they need someone to trust. Where's the 1972 song went? Right? Lean on me, everyone needs somebody to lean on, right? You need someone to Bill Withers, 1972. Okay? You need someone to lean on. So if I'm not gonna lean on Hashem, who am I gonna lean on? My doctor, my boss? Someone else? And that's what he writes in the next line. Because if I don't rely on Hashem, if I don't trust Hashem, no one likes to feel that they're just like, they're out in the open. Everyone needs something for support. So my support could be Hashem. Pasuk says, Hashlich al Hashem Yehovcha, throw your burden on Hashem. Throw the whole thing on Hashem. That's one option. If I don't, I need someone else to help me get by. I can't do it on my own. So who do I lean on? I lean on a person. I start to rely on a person. Boteach, right? If I can't rely on Hashem, then boteach bezulasa. I start to rely on someone else. That's an emotional need of a human being. I need someone to help me. So if it's not going to be Hashem, my default is going to be to rely on someone. Basar v'dam. Now, what's so bad about relying on basar v'dam? Because if that's the option that you choose, that's the option you're going to get. Those of us who learn Kedushas Levi, Shabbos morning, we've seen several times that the Berditchever has a vart, Hashem Tzilcha. It's really from the Shlach Kadosh and other tzaddikim, right? But Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow. Just like your shadow mimics your moves, so Hashem mimics your moves. Hashem says, if you line up with me, so I line up with you. If you line up with your boss or your doctor, right, or your financial advisor, then go for it. You're on his cheshbon now. That's what he writes right here. It's mefurash. Umi sheboter bezulas Hashem meisir alokim mashkachaso me'alav. You choose to rely on someone else, so Hashem says, fine, go with that guy. Go with that guy. Now, why do I like to go with that guy sometimes? Let's take the financial example. Or the doctor. Right? Why do I feel more comfortable in some ways taking the stock advice from the stock expert or from the expert doctor than from just relying on a Kodesh Baruch Hu? The answer is because it's tangible. Right? And the doctor may be very confident. I've seen this countless times. This is how this always goes. Right? This is the stock that is certainly not going to fail.
But they could be Shiluchei Hashem also. You know,
they can be. So listen to the Gra. Listen to the Gra. The Gra says, we say it's part of Hala. Right? Tov lachsos ba'Hashem. Right? Miftoach ba'adam. Better lachsos on Hashem than bitachon in Adam. What's the difference between lachsos versus boteach?
Lachsos is the lesser form.
Right. Lachsos means like, you know, lachsos is like a tree. And if I go under this tree, I'll get some shade, but I'm not really fully protected. I'm not totally shielded. Boteach is guaranteed. So the Gra and the Kol Eliyahu on Tehillim, the section on Tehillim, has a great part. He says, better lachsos ba'Hashem than what? Than to be boteach ba'adam. Better to say, Hashem, I'm not sure how you're going to deal with this. It's very unclear to me. But your not guarantee is better than my doctor's guarantee. Right? Better to stick with Hashem and not know exactly where this is going to go, than to follow the baser v'dam who's so confident. Right? Because the bottom line is Hashem is vaday, and the doctor is suffic, no matter how confident he talks. The financial advisor is suffic, and Hashem is vaday. So therefore, if you want to adopt that model of relying on that individual, go for it, Hashem says. You have that choice. I'm not going to rob you of your Bechira. But don't forget the Vart that the Kedusha's Levi quotes in B'Shalach and B'Kudai and by Purim. Hashem Tzilcha. Hashem is your shadow. Which means you set the tone in the relationship. You want to go with the doctors, so then you're going to go with the doctors all the way. You want to go with Hashem, then you go with Hashem all the way. Okay? So you can actually affect, he says here, your Hashkacha. You can affect how much Hashem is actively involved in the process. And again, if you choose a man, then you're playing by teva. If you want to adopt a Hashem outlook, then you're lamal min teva. You're not bound by the ebb and the flow of physical reality. So misha boteach bezulas Hashem. So if you rely on someone other than Hashem, meisir alukim hashkachasom me'alav u'miniachoso biyad misha batachalav. So Hashem leaves you in that person's hands. You want to go with him? Go with him. He's your new rebbe. He's your new god. So go with him. And this is what Yirmiyahu HaNavi, on behalf of Hashem, lamented at the very beginning of Sefer Yirmiyahu. Ki shtayim ro'os osa ami. It's doubly foolish. What's doubly foolish? Osi ozvu, you abandoned me, makor mayim chayim. You gave up on the one who actually has everything, the makor habracha, the makor parnasa, the makor harfua. You turned your back on Hashem, the source of it all, to do what? To put time and energy into what? Lachsov lahem boros, in order to try to carve out with tremendous amelis, tremendous effort, to carve out a cistern, boros nishbar, broken kalim. I think when I read this line, broken kalim, I think of, again, you had Hashem who was prepared to make it easy for you, with menuchas and nefesh, and you decided to go get involved with our own physical, you know, or intellectual, natural understanding of reality. And I put in all this effort trying to carve out whatever I wanted in life. And I ended up working so hard on it that I broke the thing. It turned into be Boros Nishbar. The Chavetz Chaim is quoted as saying that what is Hishtadlis like? It's like a person who's on a moving train. And the train is moving in a particular direction. Right? And you're pushing on the wall of the train in the direction that you're moving. You're not getting there any faster. You're not really doing anything. If it makes you feel good to lean up against the wall of the train as if you're pushing the train, you're not the one who's pushing the train. So here, it's doubly foolish. You abandon this of true life, and you put in all this effort to try to carve out a cistern to get fresh water. You abandon a spring of water in order to make to dig a well, and you ended up the well cracked, and now there's mud flowing into the well. V'amar, another pasuk that makes us feel unbelievably foolish. V'yamiras kvodam betavnis shor ochal esav. Such a hurtful pasuk. You traded away the glory of the true God for the image of what? Of a cow eating grass. There you go, Azav. Zavad HaMelech saying, how stupid can you possibly be? You traded away the living God, the Kel Chai, Makor Mayim Chayim, for what? For a cow that you know eats grass? Crazy. Praiseworthy is the person who trusts in Hashem, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu becomes his support. Don't turn to the haughty ones. And those who present all sorts of falsehood. No one knows what they're talking about. Who knows what they're talking about? Yeah. Who knows? Who on earth knows what they're talking about? Does any doctor really know what he's talking about? Does any financial expert really know what he's talking about? How many guaranteed predictions, you know, didn't work out that way? How many people were told they have 6 weeks to live, and they lived another 20 years? And how many people, you know, invested in the guaranteed stock and lost all of their wealth in a second? Foolish and cursed is the person who relies on man and he puts his strength into flesh, he believes in flesh, and he turns his heart or his mind away from Hashem. Okay? If he relies on his own intellect and his plans and his strength, no? Not right? Pages don't work? Missing
280?
289 and 281. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Have you talked? It's about any minute now, it's going to arrive. Okay, so just listen, because we're going to end in 2 minutes anyways. Let's just do one more line, and I'll say one more Vard, and we'll stop for tonight.
Right, it's a good thing people notice.
It's a sim, yeah, that's good. I'm so awake. Okay, so here's what he says. He says, if you rely on your wisdom and your strategies, your efforts are in vain. Now, I think there's two ways to learn this. Your efforts are in vain because what? Because if you try to do it on your own, Hashem will make you fail. That's one way to learn it. The other way to learn it is, not that you're necessarily going to fail, but why make it so much more complicated than it needs to be? Rav Shmuel Salant said, we have to work. Let's talk about Hashtalos just for a second. Rav Shmuel Salant said, we have to work. Why do we have to work? Because there's a curse in Gan Eden that what? That b'zeyas apecha toch alecha. How much do I need to work? How do I assess Hashtalos? So Rav Shmuel Salant said, you know how much you need to work? You need to work enough that it doesn't look like Hashem is providing for you in a supernatural way. You have to cover up for Hashem taking care of everything. That's how much you need to work. If you're doing so little that it looks like, hold on a second, God is doing everything for this guy, then you're not fulfilling the obligation of man, namely the curse of b'zeyas apecha toch alecha. That's how much you need to work. What that means for each individual may differ. Right? But you're wasting your time by putting in more effort because you're not making more money by working more. Again, where do I draw the line between the appropriate amount of hashtadlus and being in control to the point that it's a pagam in my bitachon is a great question. But yigal arik, you're wasting your time. V'yachlash kocho, you're wasting your strength. V'tikzur tachbulaso me'asig chafso. And eventually your strategies, your plan's going to run out. Eventually it's just not going to work. And at some point you're going to have to turn to Hashem anyways. I thought of a pshat in Ein Od Milvado. Right? What does it mean, Ein Od Milvado? Ein Od Milvado. So a person has everything planned out. And the whole thing worked out from beginning to end, right? But in life, there's always something you didn't think of. There's always going to be that ode. There's always going to be that something else that comes up. The only one who can provide that ode, so you might say, well, you know, I have a backup plan for that first ode. So like, when I thought it was going to cost $1,000, and now it's $1,500, so don't worry, Hashem, I put aside another $500, so I'm good. I still don't need you. Right? Well, what happens when we get to that next ode? There's always going to be an ode that there's no one who can solve this one. There's going to be an ode that's ain't ode milvado. There's only one person who can deal with that last step. No matter how much you have the whole thing planned out, and therefore it's our job, and we'll continue with it in Ritz Hashem next time, right? But he's going to focus on chachma, and he's going to focus on osher, and he's going to focus on gvura. And I want to end with this part, one part. It's from, because it's from this week's parsha. The Shlach Kadosh in this week's parsha, the Shnei Luchos HaBris in this week's parsha, the parsha's Korach. He quotes from the Navi Yirmiyah in the ninth parak. Okay, we'll end with this pasuk and this in this var. The Navi Yirmiyah says in the ninth parak, Al Yishalo Chacham B'Chachmasa. Don't be so proud of being such a genius. Al Yishalo Gibor B'Gvurasa. And don't think that your physical strength is unstoppable. Al Yishalo Asher V'Osho. And don't be so full of your ashiras. Rather, what should you be? Right? It says the pasuk, "Bizos yishal amisal haskel v'yadosi." You should know Hashem. Chovas alavavos. The duties, the responsibilities of the intellect, of the mind, and of the heart. Right? Don't be proud of what? Of your chachma, of your gvura, of your osha. Says the Shlach Kadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us three mitzvos. Three mitzvos that we can think of in a new way. And he brings in this week's parsha. You can think of it in terms of Korach and Moshe. I'm not going to go into the whole Korach piece. But it happens to be here in the Shlach Kadosh in Parshas Korach. What are the three mitzvos that respond to remind me it's not my money, it's not my strength, it's not my wealth? The mezuzah on my door when I come into my beautiful home reminds me that my money is not my money. My beautiful house, my possessions, it's not mine. My tzitzis, which wrap around my body, remind me that the strength of my body, it's not mine. And the tefillin, and particularly tefillin shel rosh, which I wear opposite my mind, reminds me that what? That it's not my intellect. It's not my intellect. It's not my mind. And the avoda of a Jew is, again, when we perform these mitzvahs, I'm about to myself to Hashem. So I myself, my money's not Ali Yisrael, Chacham b'Chachmasa, my Chachma's not mine, my Osher's not mine, my Gvura's not mine. When the Jewish people were born and we came to the Yom of Pesach, and he emphasized here that the way to achieve all these things is through humility and through bitachon, like we're learning. The Yontav of Pesach, where we eat the thin matzah, which is emunah, the thin matzah, which is humility. Be'erev tochlu matzos, explains the Svar Makadosha, matzos, be'erev tochlu matzos. Matzos is Rashi Tevos, but it's spelled in the Torah, chaser, there's no vav in the Torah. The mem is mezuzah, the tzadi is sittis, and the tof is tefillin. Right? That becoming a Jew means not to take pride in any of these things, and we'll see next week in the Chos Levavos, they can all disappear in a second. And therefore, Ashrei Gever, praiseworthy is an individual who relies on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of things. So obviously there's a lot more to learn here, but I hope this will get us thinking, and hopefully get us living in a different way. Okay, Shkra, thank you everyone for coming out. Please take something more to eat. Yes, Dav Maariv right now, and then everyone can eat. Enjoy.